Hi, this is Brett McFall, and I'm here with Paul Blackburn. Now, Paul is different from the rest of our speakers. Now, how is he different? Well, here's the deal. We believe that, yes, you need to know about how to market on the internet, but we also believe in something else. We believe in getting your brain working in the right way so that, A, when you come to the seminar, you actually learn some materials and then take action on what you learn, but then keep on doing what you need to do. Because we find that is one of the biggest barriers is, hey, yeah, you can say, yes, I want to learn this stuff, but then how do you keep the momentum going when we all have a track record of perhaps not doing what we should do? And that's why I want to talk with Paul Blackburn. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you, Brett?
It's great to have you coming to World Internet Summit. Not for the internet knowledge that you have, because I know you do have websites and you do a bit of stuff on the internet, but really for what I think is even more important than the web pages, it's the brain.
Well, that's pretty good to hear you say that, mate. Mm. We think that you make the money in your mind first. So, interesting that you have that view.
Well, let me ask you this. Why is the learning process, the processes of how the brain works, so important to you?
Well, I guess part of that goes to my background, in as much as I've spent a lot of time working at the Institute of Sport Training Athletes. And the unique experience I had there is that I was teaching a bunch of people who are immensely talented, and yet what they realised was that the difference between who wins and loses on the day boiled down to the person who had their head in the right spot. So I've got a bit of a background in understanding that for teaching, how it is that you can get your head in the right spot, keep it in the right spot, and make that drive what you do and make your knowledge become track record instead of just knowledge.
Okay, so what you're really saying is that you can have as much knowledge as you want, but if your brain, your head, is not in the right space, your results are totally different?
Yeah, without knocking the knowledge, mate, because without the knowledge, it's obviously hopeless. So what we're saying is that you've got to get the knowledge, and that's why people are going to come to the summit. In addition to the knowledge, you've got to have the ability to get through your own blockages to using that knowledge. You know, it's pretty common that people will buy a 12-month gym membership and, they'll go the whole first 4 or 5 or 6 weeks and, never see the gym again.
Yeah, very true.
And, and yet they'll say to us, geez, Paul, can you explain to me why it is that I stopped going when I was enjoying it, I was getting great results, it was working for me, why did I stop? And that's really the kind of a great description of what it is that we know how to do, is to help people get through that bit about why did I inexplicably, for no reason, just either fail to proceed or stop or whatever it is.
So tell me this. What are some of the blockages that you think that people experience on a very regular basis?
Well, probably the world's most common is the ability to overcome procrastination. So actual blockage itself would be, what do we do when we're not sure? And for human beings, when we're uncertain, procrastination is the most obvious.
So when we're unsure, that's when procrastination sets in?
Yep. And you can start the day with a lot of willpower and determination, but as soon as there's a bit of uncertainty, as soon as there's a bit of what do I do now, should I do A or B, and we're in an isolated environment where there's nobody really to check with, particularly somebody who's experienced, then lots of people, it's a fairly common thing for people to just go into weighing up A against B for a few hours or a few days or a few months or whatever it is.
Okay, so these sort of challenges, easy to overcome, Paul?
When you know what to do, mate, yeah. I think what most people do is they go back to primary school and they remember a teacher saying, you've got to concentrate or you've got to focus, and they don't really know what that is either. So that really means, I have to furrow my brow a bit, or I have to grin or grunt or work hard or whatever. And for lots of people, that means pursuing more information. So they try, when they're trying to decide between A and B and they're uncertain, they'll look for more information. And quite often, that's just more confusing.
Yeah, so they get into a little bit of a spiral of not taking action, getting more confused, not taking action, getting even more confused.
Yeah, and meanwhile time passes, and we know from our experience that there's a hot spot. So, the people in the gymnasium business, they know that if they can get people through that first 3 to 6 weeks, then they'll actually go through the whole 12-month membership. So the big danger for somebody who's got a whole bunch of new information about how to make some money on the net is probably that first, let's say the first 3 to 6 weeks where they're likely to run into a snag where they just don't quite remember a piece or a bit, or they need to just check it out. And in checking it out, they're going to use up some days or some weeks, and they're going to get through that hot spot, coming out the other side into what we call the dead spot.
Right.
In the dead spot, nothing happens.
Yeah, nothing happens. And then suddenly you feel a little bit disillusioned, and, gee, was it that great after all? Did I really learn that stuff? You know, what was I thinking?
Yeah, and then, many people feel stupid because they think, geez, I thought I was going to do this. Maybe I was just, fooling myself. Maybe I wasn't as good as I thought I was, that kind of thing. So you can actually spiral downwards under those processes.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Okay, so listen, tell me this. What do you want people to know most about you, Paul?
About me?
Hmm.
That I'm a regular Aussie, that I don't walk around claiming that I've made millions, although we've made a lot. Probably that I've been married to the same woman for 32 years. My kids are happy and well-adjusted, that we've been able to be very successful in all of the business enterprises that we've tackled since we got a hold of this information. So we failed a few times, but after we got a hold of this information, we've gone extraordinarily well. So we have we do property developments in Queensland and New South Wales. We have invested in the chain of bakeries. We've got lots of passive income. So we operate in lots of different business fields, and I guess all I'd say to people is I know how you can do that. I know how you can change your mindset so that you can be successful in everything. In fact, you'd nearly say the subtitle to what I'm going to talk about is you can actually have it all. You can have health, wealth, happiness, relationships. It is possible to have it all and have the lifestyle to go with it.
Yeah, isn't that a nice thought?
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, you wouldn't want to end up wealthy and miserable, would you? But you just have more time to realise how hopeless it is.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and Mary and I have been both. We've been wealthy and we've been broke, and there's no argument that wealthy miserable is better than wealthy broke. By itself, it's just not going to do it.
Well, a lot of people would say that money doesn't bring happiness, but it also doesn't bring unhappiness either.
Exactly, mate. Yeah. I can introduce you to plenty of very happy clients of mine who are incredibly wealthy. They weren't before they met us, and the happiness factor is the thing that they're most grateful about. So, it's in fact, during my talk, I'm going to talk about a client of mine called Bob who, when I met him, he'd built a business that was doing $50 million a year, so you'd have to say it was relatively successful. Shortly after we met, he went through a nasty divorce. He blew out to 130 kilos, the business fell apart, and that's when he lent on us pretty heavily. And using the processes I'm going to talk about at the summit, he was able to get himself back on track because that business vanished. He's built a new business now. He's up to $25 million a year in 3 years from when he started, happily married, and he's down to 90 kilos, the lowest body weight he's had since he was 15 years old. So I'm going to talk about three or four people who are clients of mine that have had that kind of success rate. To me, it's no use talking about somebody who's just made money.
Yeah, absolutely. You want the full picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, do you have a lot of those examples? I mean, not just for our presentation, but do you do this all the time, Paul? Is this
we've got hundreds, mate. Hundreds. In fact, maybe thousands. I've been in the game 23 years. I'm going to talk about three or four of them at the summit. And there'll be people that are ordinary Australians that are easy to relate to.
Mm. What about the internet side? Do you see anything that, especially with beginners starting, do you see any things that they should be coming to this internet summit in their minds? Is there a way they should be approaching it that would make it easier for them to learn and then easier for them to retain what they learn?
Well, mate, I'm going to bend your question a little bit and suggest that for people who are coming, the best thing that they could do is set themselves a target for what they want to go away from the summit with. So not the knowledge, but the ability to do X or Y or Z. So, people come to our workshops and I say, look, aim for the most. If you're sitting here and you want to stop smoking, that's fine. But you're better off if you want to stop smoking, lose weight, be more successful, have great relationships, go for the lot. So I would say to people who are coming to the summit, particularly the newbies, don't focus on, I've got to learn a lot or what do I need to learn, but focus on, I'm going to come away from the summit knowing what to do, how to do it, when to do it. I'm going to come away with a step-by-step plan. And just by setting that in your mind, that gets your radar going for the person who can tell you what you need to know, because there's a wide variety of speakers with a wide variety of skills, and you know, you can be overwhelmed. And I think just by saying to yourself, I'm going to walk away knowing what I need to know to take the next step, really powerful thing in terms of how I know the mind works.
Yeah, so just leaving your mind open to what could come your way.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things where at 4 days, the summit's going to be massively full of information, isn't it?
So, oh, absolutely.
How much of that you're able to retain might be influenced. In fact, I know it will be influenced by what attitude you go there with. And so the person who goes there with, well, I'm going to absorb as much as I can, probably puts themselves at a disadvantage to the person who says, I'm going to go there and I'm going to come away with not only the masses of information, and I'm going to take, you know, 1,000 pages of notes, but I'm also going to come away with a step-by-step plan of what I need to do so that when I get home, I can start.
Yeah, very good advice. Very good advice. Nice and logical and simple, too, for them to apply.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll explain during my session why that works and how that gives your mind the sort of focus that means that you hear some things better than others, and you'll hear things in somebody's talk that, you know, go off like a bomb in your head, and you'll talk to the next person sitting next to you and say, do you hear that? And I'll go, hear what? Completely missed it, you know. Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
And is there a better way to learn? You know, well, let me rephrase it. Is there a good way to learn, and is there a bad way to learn?
Yeah, I think the bad way to learn is the way we learned at school. And I'll say that as an ex-school teacher, so I'm trying not to be too negative there. Most people would have heard of accelerated learning, and what that means is finding the nuggets and locking those into your brain. So make sure that you bring a notepad and a pen, and you make a list of the people that you need to chase up. You know, there'll be... There'll be some awesome minds at the summit, and not taking the opportunity to hear the nuggets that come out of those minds, to chase those people up in the breaks, all of those kind of things would be crazy. Obviously, the other thing you do with your notebook is jot down the nuggets, the things that ring in your head, and the things that that you know you need to do next. You know, so sometimes something can go off in your head and you think that's a top idea. To stop it ending up just as one of a number of things in a list, you've got to have some kind of internal reference system that allows you to say, rightio, this one's more important than that one, or I'll do this one first and that one second.
Okay, so you're talking about making a hierarchy of things to do. That's important, yeah?
Yeah, and that hierarchy may not be obvious over the 4 days, but by the end of the 4 days it will be. So, you know, you haven't got all the information by the end of the second day, so... the hierarchy will evolve rather than become obvious. So sit there and absorb like crazy, and the hierarchy will make itself known to you just by the fact that you've jotted down all the keys.
Okay, fantastic information. One thing that I find really interesting is that, you know, as we've almost discussed, you can tell somebody or you can teach somebody to do something and they can actually do it. But it's the associations they have in their brain about what you're actually teaching them which influences if they'll do it or not. So what I mean by that is, and you can certainly clear this for me, my friend, you know, if somebody has a negative association to actually meeting someone during an event and you're actually walking up, they know they have to do it, but that the way they feel about doing it stops them from actually doing it. So it's not a physical barrier. It is definitely a mental / emotional. Would you agree with me?
Absolutely, mate. And we're going to spend a little bit of time on that. You know, the funny thing is, if you... grab a bunch of ordinary Aussies and get them to close their eyes and imagine doing something that they fear, like meeting somebody or, you know, speaking in public or, you know, standing on the edge of a cliff if they're the one who's got the fear of heights. If you get them to imagine doing that, then their heart rate will go through the roof. So for most people, even thinking about doing it has the same biological consequences if they actually did it. And so, you know, you can imagine what it's like. You know, you go home and you've got all this stuff you're going to do, and there's, as a consequence of being to the summit, and there's one part that's a bit fear-filled, then, you know, the heart rate goes through the roof, the adrenaline goes in the bloodstream, the breathing shortens, and boom, we're just not going to do it. So, because the easiest way to get all of that stuff in your body calmed down is to avoid the thing that's causing that. So, to avoid it means procrastinate.
Mm.
Which means we don't get anything done. So what I'm going to do during the process while I'm up on the stage is I'm going to ask for a volunteer, somebody who's got a lifelong fear, and we'll probably deal with something like, you know, fear of driving in the city or fear of heights or public speaking or something like that. And once we've got a volunteer, then we'll demonstrate how that person can get through that fear in about 10 minutes or so that everybody can see how that's done. And they can take that process home with them so that when it hits, they know what to do.
So you're actually going to do a live demonstration in front of our audience of how the, you know, sorts of fears, these sorts of fears can be overcome much, much quicker than what we perhaps we have been taught to or you know, who we've learned about in the past.
Yeah, you know, I come from a field where, you know, the traditional model has been, you know, if you've got some kind of fear of, like, speaking in public or something, then, you know, we'll go back and we'll find some traumatic event in your childhood and we'll force you to relive it in an ugly way and blah, 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 blah. What we've come across over the last few years is that you can skip all that. That can all go in the trash bin nowadays because we can get somebody through a lifelong fear in 10 minutes or less, and that person can probably even enjoy the process while we do it. And whilst that person's doing it in front of, I don't know, how many people are going to be at the summit, you reckon?
Oh, there'll be at least 400.
Okay, so if we got somebody who was afraid of speaking in public to be able to stand up on the stage and say hello to 400 people, obviously that's going to be a great success for that person. But the other 399 are going to be watching how it's done so that they can apply that to themselves.
Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, we'll have some fun.
Yeah, good. Yeah. I have. You've actually spoken for one of our events before, Paul, and it went down a treat, and I enjoyed every moment. I was sitting there listening to every word as well, so looking forward to seeing you do it again.
Yeah, it will be fun. I recall that event, and, you know, the shock of my life was when I won the Most Popular Speaker Award, and I think, you know, it's probably due to that, getting somebody out of the crowd to do something that they thought they could never do. You know, for most people, to do what you thought you couldn't do is a real success.
Yeah.
You know, to make a bunch of money, well, that's great. But to have a personal breakthrough is, you know, much longer lasting.
Yeah, and, you know, what we do, we're passionate about teaching and finding the best way to teach folks, you know, using emotion, using images and things like that, and to do a live demonstration like you're doing there, we just think that's fantastic, and the audience is going to absolutely love it.
Yep, we'll be having some fun. So I'll crack some jokes too.
Yeah, you have got a couple of jokes in your pockets, I know you have.
Yeah.
We look forward to seeing you there.
I look forward to it, mate.